Our God is true and living God, the God of compassion, the God of glory. And as we go back and look through the Old Testament history, we see God being glorified in the work that he did to bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They suffered, and he heard their cry and brought them out with a mighty arm. And as we learn from history of the children of Israel when they were brought out, they were not grateful and they were not trusting in the Lord as they should. There was a period, a very dark period in their history called the time of the judges. We can go through that and see the wickedness, and it's appalling. It's terrible to think about all the things that happened back then. But there was this, as we are thankful for the sunrise and the light of the day on the horizon, certainly that's the kind of time in the history of God's people that we're going to talk about tonight. It was a time in which the period of the judges was about to end, and a godly, faithful woman was instrumental in bringing this about. So let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, and let's read together about this godly woman named Hannah. As you think about this, and you think about the songs we sung, you will definitely see the power of that song, how it applies to Hannah, how much God cares for people who are going through the valleys in their life, suffering as she was. So let's read, beginning in chapter 1, 1 Samuel. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to sacrifice and worship to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So we can see how Hannah was suffering. Let's continue the reading here. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Let's stop there and realize the significance of this vow and how she was understanding that the Nazarite child, that she was offering him as a Nazarite child, very important and instrumental and powerful influence upon the people. And so we continue reading, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So we think about the fact that through prayer, it was only through prayer that she was able to overcome her sadness and to start living again, to start eating and living her life and trust to the Lord. So in this valley of life, she offered the prayer of faith, and this is what really strengthened her and enabled her to get back to the doing what she should do as a godly woman, a godly wife. As we read over in James chapter 5 about the prayer of faith, in verse 13 we read, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Let me go on and read about Elijah's as an example. Certainly Hannah was an example of a righteous individual, a righteous woman who was able to pray fervently and had offered the prayer of faith and humility. Also, we read over in Luke chapter 18 about a good example of a humble and sorrowful individual who prayed. But then, by his prayer, he would go down to his house justified because he prayed as he should. He prayed and he was devoting his life and repenting of his sins. In Luke chapter 18, we read there in verse 9 about Jesus. Well, let's begin reading in verse 10 where Jesus, verse 9 is a good place to start because it explains what the prayer is all about. In verse 9 of Luke 18, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" So you notice the Pharisee is boasting about all that he's done, and he's self-righteous, not thinking of the sins he's committed. And the tax collector, it says in verse 13, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Hannah is an example of one who humbled herself before the Lord, and she was of sorrowful spirit and needed comfort through prayer and trust in the Lord. Eli's response to her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." Then the family there, it says in verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 1 of the family, "Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So the name Samuel just means heard by God, that she was heard by God. So it said earlier in our reading that the Lord had closed her womb. But you see the power of God when we're brought low, and then God's glory is brought into effect in our lives through his power and our trust in his grace and mercy, then we can be exalted. And so we are not to exalt ourselves. We're not to have the righteousness of the Pharisees. We should have the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness that has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Thinking of her being barren, you think about this also with regard to the nation at that time. The nation of Israel was like a barren woman as well. They were not in any way pleasing to the Lord, and they needed a leader like Samuel. And so this young man, Samuel, she did follow through and offer him after he was weaned. We can read that in verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you there, or here, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. If we are a people of thankful hearts and count our blessings, we will be like Hannah and say, I will devote myself to the Lord because I see the magnitude of what he's done for me, especially when I look to Jesus and the example he set and the suffering he endured for us, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God and to reconcile us to God, to give us a relationship with God through his precious blood. This is why we should worship the Lord as we do, in spirit and in truth, and devote ourselves to the Lord fully. And then we have the prayer of Hannah. Let's read that in chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Notice verse 5 there. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. As you think about these words, it reminds us of Jesus when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And he went on to describe, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. These are the blessed things that Hannah is alluding to in a lot of these verses. Then we go on and read in finishing up in verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So see how she depends upon the Lord there and knows how that the things of this earth, that we should never take them for granted, that God has set them up for us. And then she says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces from heaven. He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house of Ramah, and the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. And the child went on to grow and be such a great leader. Samuel went through very difficult days with the people who were disobedient. But he set a good example before them, and eventually he anointed the king who had the good and honest heart. That would be a man after God's own heart. That would be David. So hope is in God, and that's one of the key things we want to bring up here, that she put her hope in God and suffered, but yet knew that suffering would lead to better days ahead because she trusted in God to work through her, and he did. And through her, the nation began a revival. Then the Apostle Paul is another one we think about with regard to the suffering he endured. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about that thorn of the flesh. And he prayed about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Summarizing there in our own words, we can just say that when we put our trust in the Lord and his power and let his power rest upon us, then we are strong. And he also said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He endured so much, and in addition to all this about the thorn of the flesh. And one other point we need to make as we wrap up this evening is that God can reverse our situation. If we are going through a difficult time, we can think of brethren, sisters and brothers who have been going through very difficult times. Think of the Old Testament characters like Abraham, who went through such a time waiting to have a son, and God reversed his situation and he ended up having a son at his old age. Think about King David before he became king, how he was running for his life as King Saul tried to kill him. Eventually he became king and was able to do so much to help the kingdom prosper and set it up for the peaceful and prosperous reign of Solomon, at least at the beginning of Solomon's reign. And then, of course, Jesus, how that Jesus suffered so much for us on the cross. But now, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we are citizens of the kingdom, and we have let the seed of the kingdom, the word of God, come within our hearts and bring forth the fruit, the spiritual fruit that we must bring forth, the love, the joy, and the peace, and obeying the heart from the heart, then Jesus has greater joy for each and every precious soul who obeys from the heart. So God can do this for each and every one of us. So let us take God for seriously and take His word and study it, little by little, continuing to feed upon it and gaining knowledge and wisdom. As we think about this song, this prayer of Hannah, we think about the song we sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and how that she would spend time in prayer thanking God for delivering her from that sorrowful spirit and putting joy in her heart. Also, this is a similar prayer to what we studied in the book of Luke, the prayer of Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. We can also look at prayers like the prayer of Daniel, and we know how sorrowful it was for him to see the punishment that was brought upon them because they did not listen to God, and they fell into Babylonian captivity. The temple was demolished. But Daniel, in chapter 9, we'll briefly touch on some things that Daniel said in his prayer. In verse 3, Daniel wrote of what he did. He said, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments. Neither have we heeded Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to You, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those afar off, in all the countries to which You have driven them, here's the reason why: because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against You." And he goes on to say, "To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws which He set before us by His servants, the prophets." So we think about the components of godly prayer. Certainly one is be adoration. One would be confession, and here he is confessing that they have rebelled, they have not obeyed, and he is speaking the truth of God, that to God belongs mercy and forgiveness. So we should come to the Lord and beg for mercy and forgiveness of our sins, and then we can, if we obey from the heart and are baptized into Christ to walk in newness of life, then we can rise from that baptism to walk in newness of life and go on our way rejoicing. We can also read in Nehemiah of the time after, whenever God had brought the children of Israel back from all the places in which they were scattered during the punishment that God brought upon them. Eventually, as he promised, he would bring them back, and he did. And Nehemiah prayed that this would happen. You can read about that in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 5. "And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You who keep Your covenant and mercy with those who love You and observe Your commandments, please let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes open, that You may hear the prayer of Your servant, which I pray before You now, day and night, for the children of Israel, Your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against You. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against You and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which You commanded Your servant Moses." And he goes on to ask for God to use him to serve. And before he goes to the king to get permission to go and help with the restoration, he prayed to God in verse 4 of chapter 2, and the king granted him this opportunity. And so the effectual fervent prayer of righteous individuals, these men and women that we've studied this evening, it avails much. And as we sang, Jesus does care. He wants us to pray as he has instructed us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. You can study that and see the importance of praying with thanksgiving, offering supplication to ask him to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And to go on to pray for the continuation of our physical blessings, to continue receiving our daily bread. And then also consider the prayer of Jesus in John 17, where he prayed for us who are interested in spiritual things. Tonight, if you are interested in spiritual things, let us hear the words of Jesus. As we study this morning, in order to please God, we have to remember that God is spirit. He is the Father of spirits, and within all of us who walk upon this earth, we have bodies that will return to dust one day. As we learned this morning, it's like the life of a flower. But as we live here and give God thanks for all the blessings, we want to turn to him in obedience, so we may be able to be born of God and to be born of water and the Spirit, and live a spiritual life, to be spiritual instead of carnal, because we know the God of this world is a carnal God, and we have the wisdom of this world, which we do not want in our hearts, the envy, the strife, and the self-seeking. We don't want to have those things in our hearts. But we do want to have God's word in our heart and let it mold us and make us after his will. As we read in John 6:45, the words of Jesus, "It is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." And so Jesus spoke these truths in many other words he spoke, and a lot of those are written down for us, and we learn from those things because what he spoke came directly from the Father, so that we have the truth. We have the ability to know what the Father wants of us and how to have a relationship with him. But he does not have the desire, and he would never look upon evil. That's why Jesus shed his blood. That blood is an atoning blood. It covers the evil, and we must be mindful of how to have that blood activated in our lives. The first thing is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. For if we don't, we will die in our sins, as we read in John 8. And also we read of the need to repent, as Jesus instructed those who are out to preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations. And as we are faithful to God and fearful to God, but not to what men can do, we are never fearful of men and refuse to confess. We will confess the Lord that he is the Son of God before men and women. And then as we read in Romans chapter 6, we want to be buried with our Lord in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life. And so in the baptism that we're speaking of, it's that one baptism of where we're baptized in water for the remission of our sins, to arise to walk in newness of life. This is how we're born of God. This is how we become a child of God and begin our journey through time, walking hand in hand with Jesus and knowing that he's always our high priest and our advocate, and he wants to hear our prayers. As we pray for one another, and we pray for not only our members, But we pray for their families and hoping that there will be peace in the families, that there will be peace and tranquility and harmony in the families. But in this case, as we think about this family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to pray for one another and help one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This time, we know that it's time to think about our relationship with the Lord, and if it's a need, if there's a need to be restored to the Lord or to obey the gospel or to be requesting prayers, then this is a wonderful time to do so, for this is the day of salvation. So this time, let us open our song books and stand as we sing the invitation song. And if someone needs to come forward, please do so now.